When you are at the bottom, when your emotions have gone haywire, God has given you a gift.
Dr. Tony Evans says God's presence is most powerful when we have nowhere else to turn.
God is saying, now that you have nothing but me, you will discover like never before, I am all you need.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Most people struggle when they have to move around without enough light. But today, Dr. Evans points out that even navigating life is tough when our emotions are in the shadows. Let's turn to Psalm 23 as he helps us understand how to end the battle between our feelings and our faith.
David has some good news, because what he wants you to know is that if the Lord is your shepherd, he will meet your emotional needs. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David is dealing with fear. Fear is an emotion. David says, even though I walk through the valley that looks like death, it's not death, it's just the shadow of death, but it feels like death to me. Anybody in here feel like I am not going to make it? That's the shadow of death. Anybody feels like I'm getting older, the years ahead of me are less than the years behind me, and I'm not going to make it? Anybody here feel like the dread that I see is shredding me and I am not going to make it? David says, I'm not going to fear. I fear no evil. Even though it looks bad out there, even though there's an overcast sky, even though it looks like I'm under the situation where the foxes and hyenas could shred me, I am not going to be afraid. Remember now, watch this. He's in a valley. He's as low as you can get. He's not on the mountain. Anybody going to feel okay on the mountain? He's in the valley, and it's a bad valley because it looks like death. But he says, in spite of how it looks, in spite of how it feels, in spite of the darkness that's crowding in on me like death, I am not going to succumb. I'm going to keep walking. If you're here today and you are emotionally traumatized, you keep going. I know you want to stop, but he says, I walk through the valley. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you. Get close to God and there'd be no valleys, but that's a lie. I wish I could tell you, be spiritual and you will never get discouraged, but that's a lie. I wish I could tell you, the godly folk, the spiritual folks never have disappointments. That's a lie. After David's soul has been restored, after he's being led down the right way, now he finds himself in a valley. But he doesn't find the valley in him, because he says, I'll fear no evil. Even though I should be afraid, even though it's natural to be afraid, guess what? I am not going to succumb to the emotional trauma that I face in the shadows. David, what's making you so strong? Simple, thou art with me. His solution to the problem of emotional discouragement was the very presence of God. The key to emotional victory when you are emotionally down, discouraged, and afraid is the presence of God. The key to your emotional disappointment, to your emotional traumatization, is the presence of God. Thou art with me. In other words, when you are emotionally down and you have run out of human options, that's where God wants you to discover his supernatural presence. You will not discover that he's all you need until he's all you have. until your options have run out, and you must throw yourself on him if you're going to make it one step further. Lord, I want to walk, but my legs are too heavy. Thou art with me. He understood that the key was the presence of God. When I took my kids to an amusement park and we went through the haunted house, when they were small, they wouldn't go unless I went with them. You have children who've had nightmares, or when it thundered and stormed outside, they woke up and they screamed. They were afraid. They jumped out of their bed and they walked through the valley of their bedroom, down the valley of the hall, to the valley of your room. They jumped in your bed because what they needed was somebody to be with them. You hugging them didn't stop the rain. You hugging them didn't stop the thunder. You hugging them didn't stop the lightning, but it changed how they faced it. They fell asleep. The fear that they had alone, they no longer had because mama was with me. That you were there in the midst of their struggle. That's why David spent so much time talking to himself. All during the Psalms, you hear him private conversations between David, David and God, and sometimes David and David. He would say in Psalm 42, "Oh my soul, why are you so disturbed within you? You better keep hoping in God." He talking to himself. He walking, and sometimes you're going to look crazy, but sometimes you got to talk to yourself. When you want to throw in the towel, that's the time to talk to yourself. Okay, now, don't quit now. When I was playing football and I'd look across the line, I had to talk to myself. Now you know you got to go over there and you got to cross body block him over there. You be talking to yourself. Now, at that point, see, when stuff get bad enough, you don't care how people think about you. When stuff get bad enough, you don't care how people feel about you, because this thing is serious. And David had to talk to himself. Let me show you what he says in Psalm 34, look at what he says. David says, verse 4, "I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears." Watch this now. He says, "I looked to God and he delivered me from all of my fears," which means he had them. "They looked to him and were radiant." Now, what's the antecedent to they? The antecedent to they are my fears. I told my fears, stop looking at me and start looking at him. I turned my fears upward rather than merely dealt with them inward. And when my fears looked at him, my fears began to smile. My fears became radiant. He goes on to say, this poor man, verse 6, cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. But what's that got to do with me? Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps about all those who fear him, and he rescues them. So if you don't believe me, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there is no one. When you are at the bottom, God has given you a gift, because it's at the bottom. When your emotions have gone haywire and you are ready to pull your hair out, that God is saying, now that you have nothing but me and you only have me, you will discover like never before, I am all you need. It is the gift of God's presence. You know, I've told the story so much, but it illustrates the point. Jesus on the water with the disciples get in a storm. So they get shaky. In fact, the Bible says they got scared because the boat looked like it was going to turn over and they were in the valley of the shadow. Where was Jesus? Asleep. What good is a Savior who sleeps on you when you're in a storm? But not only was he asleep, he was asleep on purpose, because the Bible says his head was on a cushion. That's a pillow. You don't pull out a pillow unless you intend to go to sleep. So Jesus wasn't up there doing that. He was not, no. He pulled out a pillow, lay down on the pillow because he intended to go to sleep while his followers were in a storm. Did you know sometimes Jesus will nap on you? while the storm is going on, because he wants to see what you're going to do in a storm when he's all you got. They came over and they woke him up, the Bible says. They said, get up, Jesus. And they said what we think. Don't you care that I'm perishing? How can you sleep on me at a time like this? How can the phone be off the hook at a time like this? How can you not be responding to me at a time like this? How can you not be answering me at a time like this? They woke him up. The Bible says in Mark 4, Jesus got up, went over to the storm and said, peace, be still. It said the storm died down. Then it gets good. They looked at what Jesus did after they woke him up, because he was asleep while they were in a mess. And they said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves do whatever he says? And then comes the killer line. It says, and then after they saw who he was, they were very much afraid. They were scared of the storm, but they got terrified when they saw who was bigger than the storm. They saw who God was in a storm. God will let you get in an emotional storm so that you can discover who he is. Psalm 56:3 says, when I was afraid, I put my eyes on you, and you delivered me. It is in the midst of a storm that God lets you see him as you've never seen him before.
Dr. Evans will have more for us on the importance of keeping our eyes on God when he returns with more of today's lesson. But first, I'd like to let you know that all 15 full-length messages in his current 2-volume Living Above the Circumstances collection can be yours to review for your own personal growth or to share with friends, family, or your small group. All we ask is that you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching coming your way each day. The alternative is a listener-supported ministry, and it's people like you who continue to make this broadcast possible and available to a world in need of the truth. And as an added bonus for your generosity, we'd like to say thanks by including a copy of Tony's valuable booklet, Let It Go. This popular, easy-to-read guide explains why we need to acknowledge God's authority and let him open the right doors for us. This special double offer will only be available for a few more days, so make the arrangements today to get both of these resources for yourself, along with our thanks, when you drop by tonyevans.org or when you call our resource center at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are standing by to help you day and night. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will return with more of today's message right after this.
Our world has become very mean, so much division and conflict. So we need to be overwhelmed with kindness.
Dr. Tony Evans has a mission for you to change our culture for good. Join Tony's Kindness in the Culture campaign by getting your unique kindness cards online. Then agree to do one act of kindness for someone each week. Once you do your act of kindness, offer to pray for the person and even share the gospel. If you can't do both, that's okay. Just be sure to give the kindness card to them, and Dr. Evans will share the gospel through a simple, easy-to-access video online. Visit TonyEvans.org to request your cards today. Churches and groups can request customizable kindness cards with your name and logo. See details online.
God told Moses, Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses said, you got to be kidding me. Them people want to kill me over there. What do you mean, go tell them, let my people go, Moses? Go tell them, let my people go. I will be with you. Moses said, now, the only way I'm going is if you go with me. If you don't go with me, I won't go. But if you go with me, then that will overcome my fears. And Moses went based on the presence of God. If you only knew that God has you in the shadows and he hasn't let you out yet, because he wants you to discover that when he's all you have, he's all you need. What do you get with God? Well, it says, the reason I'm going to fear no evil is because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What's the rod? The rod is a club. Every shepherd had a club. You know what the club was? The beat up on anything that messed with the sheep. In other words, the club is God's power. God's power to address anything that would mess with you. Psalm 20, 62:11 says, power belongs to God. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm in charge here. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, you're going to discover that our God is able to deliver us out of your hand. You are powerful. Our God is all powerful. When Daniel was in the lion's den, the king said, Daniel, was the God you talked about able to deliver you from the lions that were about to devour you? He says, King, I'm doing fine down here with the lions. In fact, I slept all night. You were awake up there worried. Because you are safer with God in a bad place than without him in what you think is a good place. I have been trying to get my daddy to move for years from this ghetto-ridden neighborhood that he lives in. And daddy won't move. I said, Daddy, why won't you move? This is not a safe place. He says, boy, the same God that got you out of this neighborhood okay, the same God that got your brothers and sister out this neighborhood okay, is the very same God that I got with me right now. Now, if God tell me move, I'm gonna move. But he has me at peace right here where I am. And if I'm in his will, I'm safer in the ghetto than somebody else in the suburbs. If I'm in his will, he understood the rod of God. And I love it. I love when I see God overrule the rulers, overrule the people who think they have the power. Overrule the people who flaunt the power, who think their education, their money, their status, their notoriety, where everybody else is bowing at their feet and God still stands up tall to let them know there is no God but me. New Testament, I believe it's Acts 4, talks about Herod. Bible said Herod was Mr. Big Stuff. Herod was the man. And it said the people started paying homage to Herod as God. To Herod, you like a God. You a God. You somebody, Herod. And the Bible says, and Herod received their accolades. You may not can stop folk calling you God, but you better stop you from receiving it. He received their accolades. They said, you God. He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. The next line in the verse, and we're not talking about the end of the chapter. The next line, after it says, and he received their accolades as they were calling him God, the next line was, and the worms ate him up. In other words, he was in the grave. David says, I'm not going to let my circumstances dominate my emotions. Now, don't get me wrong. He doesn't deny he had to deal with fear. Let's don't get super spiritual here. I don't ever get afraid. You may not get afraid, but you're good at lying. Oh, I don't ever get depressed. Let's get down to the real world. I don't ever get frustrated. I don't ever get angry. I don't ever get, you get something. And if you've never gotten something, let me pray for you right now that God give you something so that he can deliver you from the something he gave you. No, he says, the temptation is the fear, but I will not fear. One, because of God's power, but then two, because of his staff. Now watch this. The staff was a long stick with the hook on the top, okay? When sheep would go in to eat berries, its fur, its coat, would often get caught on the thistles, the thorns. And it'd be all in the brush. So what the shepherd would do would be reach in there, hook it around the neck, and wiggle it out. In other words, it would untrap it. You ever been trapped? You ever been caught in something you can't get out of? You ever been caught in something you can't be delivered from? God not only has power, but he has grace. Grace is when God reaches in to your caughtness, to your stuckness, and where he pulls you out. God reaches in to deliver you out of the situation that you have gotten yourself caught in. It's grace. Oh, do you understand grace? Grace is where God doesn't give you what you deserve. Grace is where God is good when you are bad. Grace is where he is kind when you are unkind. Grace is where he is loving when you don't deserve to be loved. He reaches in anyway and delivers you. He blesses you anyway. He takes care of you anyway. That's God's grace. You know, I heard about this new sheet that they have that you can put in a washer when you're washing clothes, color clothes, because the color clothes sometimes bleed, and they bleed the color that can mess up other color clothes. So they have this sheet you can put in now, and when the washer's tumbling and spinning and going through the motions, it will suck up anything that's bled from one cloth in order to keep it from discoloring another cloth. And it does it as the tumbling in the washer is taking place. Sometimes life tumbles you around. And the enemy is out there to bleed and discolor you, disfigure you, and destroy you. And you are spinning and turning and twisting and tumbling. But God in his presence enters into that environment, and he keeps the evil one from having the last say-so in your life. That's what God does. That's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It says perfect love casts out fear. That when you know how much God loves you, when you know how much God cares for you, when you know how much he thinks about you, when you know how valued you are, it will overrule any emotion that seeks to tear you down. He says, focus on God. Yes, I'd love to tell you today, be a good Christian and you won't get discouraged. Be a good Christian and you'll find that mate. Be a good Christian and your finances will be doubled tomorrow. Be a good Christian and all that, but you and I know life doesn't work like that. There are good days and there are bad days. Sometimes living is hell and sometimes living is heaven. Sometimes you're on the mountain and sometimes you're in the valley. The psalmist wants you to know that there are going to be emotional highs and then there are going to be the shadows of death. There are going to be days when it's not going right at work, not going right at home. The kids aren't responding to you right. You're not feeling up to par. You don't have get up and go. But he says, even in those times, don't let the emotions have the final word. Let your God have the final word. Go to him and say, God, you promised never to leave me nor forsake me, so I'm going to keep walking. You promised never to go. I don't feel you. I don't see you. I feel like you sleep on me, but I'm going to keep walking because you promised me that you were going to be with me. Don't you quit on me. Don't you throw in the towel, because God has a plan. God has a purpose. Some of us haven't seen him because we've sat down. He says, as I walk through the valley, it's a valley, but I'm going to walk it. It's a valley. I'm going to stay in here. It's a valley. No suicide here. No giving up here, no throwing in the towel here. You are loved too much for that. He says, I'm gonna walk, and then I'm gonna watch God make my change come.
Dr. Tony Evans, wrapping up a powerful lesson on allowing God to meet our emotional needs. Now remember, you can get the entire unabridged copy of this lesson when you take advantage of our special double offer I mentioned earlier. All 15 full-length messages in Tony's current two-volume collection, Living Above the Circumstances, along with his popular and helpful booklet called Let It Go. They're both yours with our thanks for your donation to keep this listener-supported program coming your way. But this offer will only be good for a few more days, so visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. There's nothing wrong with searching for answers, but even the best answer is a waste of time if we're trying to solve the wrong problem. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain why that's one of the reasons so few of us really experience God's peace. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.